Well, kia ora, hello and welcome to the Coast Vineyard Podcast. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, it's so good to have you listening in. We hope and pray that wherever you may find yourself at today, that the message that you're about to hear would be helpful for your journey of faith. So, without further ado, let's get into this week's message.
Pentecost Sunday today, so did you know that in many, many traditional churches, the priests wear red on Pentecost Sunday? So, got the shoes, got the shirt. Bryce, yeah, like Pentecost Bryce with his red shirt. Anyone wearing red today? You feel very priestly today, so... hey, I'm Matt Lilly, if we haven't met before, and special welcome to those that are online. It's so good to have you guys. I was just thinking of a lady I knew years ago who actually came to faith just through a TV screen, you know. And so we're very much aware that God will meet you guys as you're joining us online as well. We'd love you to be here. We're grateful that you are still tuning in. So, hey, last week too, I was down in Gisborne at the Wainui Beach Vineyard Church, a relatively new Vineyard Church there, and was just doing some work with their leaders and their pastors down there. Spoke at their church on Sunday, and what a beautiful church down there. So I just want to say again, thanks for letting me head off and make a difference for those guys. So they're doing great. But Pentecost Sunday, celebrating the giving for the Christian church, celebrating the giving of the Spirit to the church. And what that meant was that the followers of Jesus were empowered. They received this power from God, and there was boldness, there was miracles, there was prophecy, there was all sorts of things. And my question this morning, like serious question, not just like the guy up the front saying this, but serious question, do you want more of God's power in your life? Like just stop for a moment and just like, do you actually want that? I'm like, yeah, it's okay if you don't, but I'm like, it's do you want that? Because we're going to make room for to pray for you today, and we'd love if you would like that. We'd love to pray for you and see what God does. But let me just give you a bit of a background of Pentecost. So way, way back, like 1300 BC. The people of Israel, the Israelites, were in slavery in Egypt. Many of you will know the story. And they are the ones that were probably building the pyramids and building all of these things, you know, and enslaved the Egyptians. And God called Moses to rescue his people. The Israelites were God's people. And God called Moses to rescue them from the Pharaoh of Egypt, from the slavery of Egypt. Moses goes to the Pharaoh and says, like, you need to let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no way, Jose. Like, that's not happening. We've got some pyramids to build. And so then God used Moses in a way. And then God brought these 10 plagues. And they sort of got worse and worse and worse. And each time Moses came back to Pharaoh and said, you're going to let my people go now? No, you're going to let my people go now? The 10th one was the worst of all, which was the plague of that where the angel of death came across the land of Egypt and everything firstborn died on that night. But for the people of Israel, they were forewarned. If you had the blood of the lamb over your doorpost, the angel of God would pass over, the angel of death would pass over your house. And so that the firstborn of the Israelites were not part of that and were saved from that. And then Pharaoh goes like, okay, enough is enough. Get out of here. Take whatever you want, just get out of here. Too many plagues, too much pain and death. And so God's people were rescued out of slavery into freedom. And the Passover is the celebration of that angel of death passing over the houses of the Israelites. And the people of God, the Israelites, celebrated that. Now, when we look at Jesus' time, Jesus on that the weekend where he was crucified, that was Passover weekend, where they were, you know, the Israelites were celebrating that. And the other thing that's important to know is that what's Passover got to do with Pentecost is that the Israelites also celebrated 50 days after the Passover. They had another celebration, and they called it, I'm going to have to read this because they called it Shavuot. And that is, the word means, is a plural for weeks. So it's kind of like a week of weeks, or 7 weeks, which is 49 days, which is close enough to 50, I guess. So 50 days after the Passover, they celebrated this Shavuot. It's like a harvest festival, the Feast of Weeks, the Festival of Reaping, a Day of First Fruits. And so we read in the Bible, in the book of Acts, that after Jesus' resurrection, he was seen by many, he ascended 40 days after and was no longer physically with them. So the disciples, they met together and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed. So for them, Passover was the same time as the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. But interestingly, 10 days later, after they prayed and prayed and prayed, it was this day of Shavuot, or in the Greek, the day of Pentecoste, which in Greek means 50th. 50th. Pentecoste. So on Pentecoste, while the people of Israel were all celebrating their harvest festival, we read that they were all together praying and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke in languages that they were not their own. Foreigners could understand what was being said. So much noise was happening that a crowd formed, like, what is going on? Imagine your house. How much noise would you have to make in your house for your neighbors to start coming up and going, like, a bit noisy today, Stanley, you know? It's a normal day. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, that had been with Jesus, disciple of Jesus, had denied Jesus. Oh, no, it's that time when, like, are you with Jesus? No, I wasn't with Jesus. But then Peter, the brave, he then starts shouting. He says, he raised his voice. What's that? It says shouting. That's shouting, yeah. He's like, hey, this was prophesied. This was prophesied. This is God pouring out his spirit. Things are about to change. Prophecy's going to happen. People are going to get visions. There's going to be dreams. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He pleaded with them. You need to repent. Be baptized. Receive forgiveness for your sins. And receive this same gift of the Holy Spirit. And we read, 3,000 did. 3,000 did in that day. How many spare chairs have we got in here? 3,000. 3,000 people on that day said, I want what is happening here. I want to get my life right with God. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Millions and millions of people have prayed that same prayer ever since, right across the world. The good news of Jesus, salvation from our sin, salvation from death, and the giving of the Holy Spirit, millions and millions of people. Yet the start of last century, how are we going here for time? Shane is going, don't worry, we can just go all day. Like, everyone's going, like, no, we can't. The start of last century, there was a guy called Charles Parham, who was a young, enthusiastic preacher in Kansas and come out of the sort of holiness movement. And he was exploring this whole thing of like, we just want to get more of God. He had an experience with when his son was born. His son got really sick. He got really sick. They prayed and got miraculously healed. And he just said like, this, God did this. And this was at a time when there wasn't a lot of that stuff happening. So he's like, and he started preaching healing and started to look at like, well, like, and then he started hearing about some people were actually doing this thing called speaking in tongues. He said, what's that all about? And he'd started a school and he had some, all of his students, like, could you like explore what this whole thing is about? Like how, you know, these things that seem to be accompanying when people were filled with the power of God. And he was sort of chasing these things. And then interestingly, at his school, a bunch of their students, this is midnight on January the 1st, 1901. So really the first day, well, the first minute of the 20th century, there was someone at the school that they just felt like, oh, I really want to be to know and receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. And after they prayed, they received this gift of speaking in another language. And it's funny when you read about it, they go, people say they think it was Chinese, but no one spoke Chinese. but it was something, you know, and it was something. And then over the next few months and things, a number of others, they received this thing that was like where they spoke in tongues, they prayed in tongues. And at the school, there was a bunch of African-American guys that came along were wanted to learn about what this guy was teaching about. And one of them was a guy called William J. Seymour. Now, he was, that's him there. He was at the school for a while, but he didn't speak in tongues. But he got invited to go to Los Angeles to like lead a holiness movement church, and Parham, the first guy, said like, I don't think you should go because like you don't like we don't know evidence like of this of you. He thought that he needed to speak in tongues to be a pastor, and but Seymour just went anyway. But then when he went there, he was preaching about this whole thing of speaking in tongues and being filled with the Spirit, even though he hadn't experienced it himself, and. And then his church movement goes like, "You're a crazy. We're not really into this. We don't really want this to be part of this." And he said, "Well, I'm going to preach anyway." So then they locked the doors and chained his doors up of his church, so he couldn't actually preach in his own church. So then he just started this other group in his house, and before you know it, it's just growing and growing and growing. And they were praying; they really wanted to just be like we read about this in the Book of Acts. We just read about the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. Like we want this, and they were praying and praying. And they added fasting. Like, God, would you give this to us? And then there became this thing where the Spirit of God was poured out upon them, and for many of them they spoke in tongues, and there was all sorts of like healings and deliverance and miracles and prophecy that was that began to be seen. And what that started was what has become known as the Azusa Street Revival in 1906, and out of that was birthed the whole Pentecostal movement, which has spread all around the world. And probably 600 million people today around the world would say, you know, that they're a part of a Pentecostal church around the world. And there was this thing, and of the pouring out of the Spirit in a way that changed people's lives, that released power where there was, you know, there was a visible evidence of things. What is this whole thing about being filled with the Spirit? Like, what it is, it's an empowering from God for Christians, for all of us. We see it on that first Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection. We see it all through the history of the church. We see it at Azusa Street. What is this thing? Well, it's interesting. It's described in different ways. As you look at the Book of Acts, it's described in different ways. Filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Acts 2:4, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Acts 9:17, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Sometimes it's called baptized in the Spirit. Acts 1:5, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Acts 11:16, "Then I remembered what the Lord had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit."
talks about how the Spirit has been being poured out. Acts 2:17, in the last days, this is brave Peter getting up after all of his neighbors came and going like, you guys are rowdy, like what's going on? And he said, right, let me tell you what's going on. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. He's saying, this is what, you know, your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. Acts 10:45, the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. And they knew that because that at that instance, they saw that they spoke in tongues and they saw, oh, this, like, we can tell because we can see you speaking in tongues. Talks about how the Spirit came upon them. Acts 1:8 again. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit... No, that's a different one. No, this one here. Acts 8:16. What's going on here? Talked about how, you know, the Spirit would come upon people. You would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Again, Acts 16, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. 10:44 Acts, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And again, they could see that was, again, a speaking in tongues thing. Acts 11:15, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Acts 19:6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. Can be referred to as the gift of the Spirit. Acts 2:38. They're astonished that the gift of the Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. Acts 11:17. So God gave them the same gift he gave us, talking about the Holy Spirit. Talked about how they received the Holy Spirit. Bunch of verses there we'll keep, but it's all the same thing. The key thing is that just as we read about in the first Pentecost, the Spirit was given to the believers and it empowered them. They were empowered for witness with spiritual gifts. And the apostles that were kind of the missionary apostles that were heading out, bringing the good news all sorts of places, they wanted the believers to experience the same empowering. You know, some holiness traditions or Pentecostal traditions, they would call this thing like a second blessing. It's kind of like... kind of sort of helpful and unhelpful language. It's helpful in that there is an expectation of, like, there is power available for you. There was examples in the book of Acts where people were believers, they'd been baptized, but they were going like, what's this thing about the Holy Spirit? Well, let's pray for you. Helpful in that, but unhelpful in that what I understand to see in the scripture is that it's just, there is the empowering that happens over and over and over again, the giving of the Spirit all the time, again and again and again and again and again. There are some people that would say, but this empowering of the Spirit can only be evidenced if you speak in tongues, you pray in tongues. Again, it's super unhelpful to, you know, that understanding. It is an evidence, as we saw in the book of Acts, but it's not the only one. So it's kind of a bad interpretation of scripture, and it's not what is seen. Like I see many people demonstrating and outworking the power of the Spirit, and they don't speak in tongues or pray in tongues. But on speaking in tongues and praying in tongues, I would say this in relation to being empowered by the Spirit. Speaking in tongues was an integral part of the Spirit being given in the book of Acts. It is the main manifestation associated with Spirit baptism, which is explicitly presented as evidence authenticating the experience, and on this basis should be considered normal for Christian life. It's not essential for your salvation. It's not a salvation issue. It's not even a filled with the Spirit issue. But you can't help but read the book of Acts and think it should be a normal thing for Christian life. But church, there is this reality that God empowers people. There is a reality that this can happen, and it can happen in an obvious way. It can happen when you get, when you're prayed for. happens when it's desired and pursued, happens in a life-changing way. And I tell you, for me, I've experienced this many, many times in my journey. And many here, I know many here have experienced, like, yes, I know that I've experienced this power of God in my life. There's a theological statement from the Assemblies of God Pentecostal movement. Possibly this will be the only time I'll ever quote anything from the Assemblies of God Pentecostal movement. But like, because some of them are helpful and some of them are unhelpful. There's some theology that is associated with the Pentecostal movement that it's unhelpful. Things like, if you don't get healed, it's your fault because you haven't got enough faith. That is not scriptural. That is not okay. And it's super unhelpful. But this, I think this is quite helpful, although I'll disagree with one little bit of it. But listen to, I'm a bit of a theologian. Like, I'm not just like, I've engaged in this understanding of theological frameworks around the things of the Spirit for a long time. Listen to this. They say this: all believers are entitled to and should ardently expect and earnestly seek the promise of the Father, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and fire, according to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was the normal experience of all in the early Christian church. With it comes the endowment of power for life and service, the bestowment of the gifts and their uses in the works of the ministry. This experience is distinct from and subsequent to the experience of the new birth. That's the bit that I'm not like it's like I've seen people like as they come to faith, it's simultaneous, not subsequent. It's like, that's just like this empowering thing that happens, all just happens right then. And then that sort of also implies it's like there's the salvation, then there's this, and then off you go, you know. But I'm like, there's just these so many opportunities for the filling and empowering and God's giving. And anyway, so, but that, I didn't want to wreck their statement, so. With the baptism in the Holy Spirit comes such experiences as an overflowing fullness of the Spirit, a deepened reverence for God, an intensified consecration to God and dedication to his work, and a more active love for Christ, for his word, and for the lost. Do you want that? I want that. So this is Pentecost Sunday. Like, God doesn't do anything necessarily special on anniversaries, okay? But it's a great an anniversary that we get the opportunity to talk about these things and to call you forward into these things. And I just wanted to talk, as we finish up here, I want to talk about hunger for God. The Spirit is given in increasing measure to those that are hungry for God. Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know, the more we seek the things of God, the more God gives to us. The first Pentecost, you know, these guys were praying together for 10 days. I just wanted you to picture this. Call yourself a prayer meeting with all your friends. Say, we're going 10 days. Day one, everyone's pumped, eh? How's day five? They were praying. 10 days, they were praying. And there was a visible, audible pouring out of the Holy Spirit and manifestations. You know, they spoke in tongues. There was this fresh boldness for Peter to preach. And 3,000 were added. There was hunger. Praying in tongues. Everyone that I know, I've talked to about their journey and how they came to be someone that could pray in tongues, everyone were eagerly pursuing this thing. I want this. I want more of God in my life. They're eagerly wanting the power of the Spirit to be more manifest in their lives. I was at the prayer night, one of the prayer things this week on Wednesday, talking to some of the guys. You know, there's this season of pressing in for the hunger of God. I was going to tell you the story of Charles Finney, but we've run out of time because I want to pray for you guys. If you want to Google this, you want to Google Charles Finney testimony, you probably get like maybe it's about 5 or 6 pages. It's out of the start of his autobiography. He's a guy that was like, he was a timid Christian, but he felt this call to like press into God. He'd go into his office and he'd shove something in the keyhole so that no one could see him or hear what he was doing when he was praying. He hid his Bible under things on his desk so no one could see that he was reading his Bible. Charles Finney had this encounter. He started to go out into the the woods outside of his village. And as he was like looking for God, I just wish I could. This is so good. Just at that point, this passage of scripture seemed to drop into my mind with a flood of light. Then shall ye go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Then shall ye seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I instantly seized hold of this with my heart. I knew that it was God's word and God's voice that spoke to me. Gave him a bunch of promises, went back to his village. On this particular day, the thought of God was sweet to my mind, and the most profound spiritual tranquility had taken full possession of me. This was a great mystery, but it did not distress or perplex me. I took down my violin, obviously the instrument of worship of the day, and as I was accustomed to do, began to play and sing some pieces of sacred music. But as soon as I began to sing those sacred words, I began to weep. It seemed as if my heart was all liquid and my feelings were in such a state that I could not hear my own voice in singing without causing my sensibility to overflow. I tried to suppress my tears but could not. After dinner, we were engaged in removing our books and furniture to another office. My mind, however, remained in that profoundly tranquil state. There was a great sweetness and tenderness in my thoughts and feelings. I returned to the front office, but as I turned and was about to take a seat by the fire, I received a mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost. Without any expectation of it, without ever having the thought in my mind that there was any such thing for me, without any recollection that I'd ever heard the thing mentioned by any person in the world, the Holy Spirit descended on me in a manner that seemed to go through me, body and soul. I could feel the impression like a wave of electricity going through and through me. Indeed, it seemed to come in waves and waves of liquid love. For I could not express it in any other way. It seemed like the very breath of God. Charles Finney went from a timid guy to becoming one of the key leaders in the second great awakening, or the third great awakening revival in the USA. Why don't we stand together, church? You know, God wants us to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to have the Holy Spirit. You may be familiar with the scripture that Jesus said, like, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be added, you know, it will be open for you. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. You see that in the next couple of verses. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. What I would love to do is for any of you today that would like to be filled again, or filled for the first time, or baptized, or have the Spirit come upon you, or, you know, if you would want that, we would love to pray for you. But we would also ask that come up the front and receive that. Come up the front. So could I ask that you do that? If you want that, step out of your seats and come up. And you know what the thing is, that you might think like, that's a long way to walk, or like, I don't know. Hungry people make decisions that where there's like, I've got to do something, you know. Hungry people do that. And like, you don't have to. But if you would want that, come up the front now. Just come up the front. Just come. And as people are coming up, could I also say to you, hungry people stay hungry. Like if this is stirring your heart today, like, what about tomorrow and what about next week? And if you don't see what you want to see today, will you be a people that will keep praying? That's what we see, the calling and the invitation of our scriptures is that, like, keep pressing in. So many people I know, my own journey, it's a journey where they're saying yes and yes and yes, and they're making decisions to say, I'm going to pray, I'm going to press in, I'm going to ask this for you, God, from you, God. If they don't get what they're hoping for in one prayer, they'll pray again. If they don't receive what they're expecting 1 week, they'll keep praying the next week. So this is one of a number. So we're just going to pray for these folks. And again, like if you just like change your mind halfway through our prayers, then you're welcome to come up. So folks, I'll just encourage you, just where you are, however you know how, just to open your hearts to God, and we're just going to pray. We're going to pray for you. And Holy Spirit, we pray now that you would come in power, God. You would come, you would pour out your Spirit on each person that is here that is saying, yes, I want more of you, God. Come, Holy Spirit. Pour your Spirit out. Pour your Spirit out on these people here, God, that have hunger in their heart for you, God, that want more of you, that are saying yes and amen to the being baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's message. We hope and pray that it's been most helpful. If you are keen to find out a little bit more about us as a church whānau, or you'd like to touch base, then you can go to coast.org.nz, and there you'll find information about our in-person services, online services, various resources and activities. Enjoy the day and be blessed.